It is truly good to see everyone out this morning, and certainly good to have this opportunity to share with you all from the Word of God. And this morning, I wanted to take a look over in John chapter 21. This is where the bulk of our lesson will come out of. Before we get started with that, though, I am going to provide a little background information here. Over in John chapter 21, starting with verse 15, John chapter 21, starting with verse 15, we read the following. So when they had eaten breakfast, and this is after Jesus has been resurrected, his disciples see him on the shoreline here as they were fishing. That verse reads, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and will carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Before we actually take a look at some of these verses here, certainly important to think about some of the events that actually led up to this particular event that we see on the shore here. And certainly when you begin to take a look at scriptures, there's a lot of things that we see regarding the Apostle Peter here. We certainly know that Peter was a bold individual. He was confident. But perhaps one of the things that kind of stands out about Peter is that Peter was somewhat impulsive from time to time. Peter sometimes spoke before he actually thought about what was going on or the actual matter. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26 here as we look at some of the background information here. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to start with verse 31. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 31. And we see in Matthew's account, this is right after Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper. Starting with verse 31, we read, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. After I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Before we go on, let's also take a look over in Luke's account here. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. We're going to take a look at verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And I want you to think about what Jesus is saying here. In those verses we read, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know, if you think about this concept of sifting wheat, it was a process that actually had two steps to it. That first step was one of threshing, in which case the wheat kernel itself was actually separated from the stalk. And then the second process was the winnowing process. And this is basically when they would take the actual wheat kernels and the grain from the floor here, and they would simply toss it in the air. And it was a process where that lighter chaff would be separated from the heavier grain. And so the grain would go to the floor, and the chaff would actually float away. This analogy is a process of separating this fluff, that is the chaff, from the substance, that is the wheat. Think about Peter here. Peter is certainly extremely confident in his ability to endure any persecution that might come to him this night because of Christ. He even says that he's willing to die with Christ here. And you think about the fact that Peter had this opportunity to literally show what substance he was made of. He was put to the test. He had the opportunity to show what he was made of, and we know that Peter would fail. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26 here. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to take a look, starting with verse 69. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 69 here. And we'll take a look at the results of Peter's confidence here. And those verses read, and this is after Jesus has been taken. Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also with which Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Think about verse 74 here. Then he begins to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you would deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Think about this very confident and bold man, Peter here. And you think about the fact that he was so sure that even if put to the test, that he would not fail Christ, that he would not deny him. Again, he even stated that he was willing to die for Christ's sake here. And you think about it. Think about verse 74 here. When put to the test, think about this emphatic denial of Christ here. He actually cursed and he swore that he did not know this man. Sometimes we truly need to receive an honest assessment of the relationship that we have with Christ here. This event certainly provided Peter with an honest assessment as to where he truly was concerning his relationship with Christ. Consider we may certainly say that we love Christ, and we might say it and be somewhat boastful about it from time to time. But the one thing for sure is that from time to time, sometimes our love for Christ goes cold. Sometimes we begin to put other things in the place of our heart where Christ should be. And sometimes it could be a variety of things, but sometimes that love that we have for Christ here becomes cold. It could actually be because of perhaps some persecution that we may find ourselves going through, or it could actually even be because we find ourselves being mocked or insulted because of Christ. You know, as we turn back over to John chapter 21 here, you know, think about some of the things that we see in John chapter 21. We're going to begin to see as they're on this shoreline, we see this resurrected Christ who was indeed raised from the dead. And we read these verses here, John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Think about the fact that Jesus will ask three questions of Peter here. And this first question, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him more than these. And that term "these" is one that has certainly drawn numerous questions throughout the years. It certainly appears to be somewhat vague. Some think that it refers to whether or not Peter loved Christ more than the disciples that were there with him, especially when you consider the fact that, again, Peter said, if all others are made to stumble because of you, I will not be made to stumble because of you. Another thought process is that the term these refers to the fact that Peter found himself going back to fishing, this profession that he had prior to. If you look over in John chapter 21 and verse 3, we see that, again, Peter seems to have returned to this profession that he had in regards to fishing. Keep in mind that the disciples had seen a resurrected Lord and Savior by this time frame. And so it appears perhaps that it could actually refer to the fact that, again, Peter had gone back to this profession. And so it could be the fish, the boats, the nets, and all of these things that encompass that career as a fisherman. One of the thought process that I came across is that, you know, it could be that this was always meant to remain vague, this particular verse, simply because it could be anything that, again, we put before Christ in our life here. Either way, the one thing that we do see is that Jesus would challenge Peter to carefully consider the love that he has for him. And not only that love that he has for Christ, but the task that he and these other disciples were assigned to do here. Over in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, we see two words used for love there. We see the word agapao, and we also see the word phileo. And so the term agapao is the word that the word agape actually originates from. And the Strong Greek Concordance tells us that this word means to prefer, to love for the believer, preferring to live through Christ, embracing God's will, choosing his choices, and obeying them through his power. With the believer, it means actively doing what the Lord prefers with them, by his power and direction. True agapao is always defined by God. It's a discriminating affection which involves choice and selection. And again, you think about the fact, certainly as we profess to love our Lord and Savior, as we profess to love our God, again, think about the fact that what comes along with this is, again, those choices, those selections that we make throughout our life here. In John chapter 21, Jesus would ask Peter, three times do you love me? The first two times he used that term agapao. And again, this is a love which is a love of the mind, it's a love of reason, it's a love of the will itself. And again, it is a love that actually creates choices for us. I want you to consider some of these verses here. Let's take a look at John chapter 3 and verse 16 here. Sorry, it seems like I'm a little bit behind. Okay, John chapter 3 and verse 16. I think I'm caught up now. All right, so this verse reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And basically what you're going to begin to see here is that throughout John's gospel here, you know, this term agapao, this term phileo, they're used more from a situational standpoint. But we see John chapter 3 and verse 16, and certainly we know that this is agapao. If you go down just a few verses to John chapter 3 and verse 19, again, we see this exact term being used, agapao. That verse reads, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And so in this verse, we see the term again, agapao, being used here. But it involves, again, a choice. Think about the fact that certainly we can love, we can choose to love God, or we can, again, choose to love darkness. In this particular verse, we see those, it describes those who love darkness rather than light. And let's turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 35 here. John chapter 3 and verse 35, where we read, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." And again, we see this term agapao being used in this verse to display God the Father's love for Jesus. And yet, one additional verse here, John chapter 12 and verse 43. John chapter 12 and verse 43, we see the exact same term referred to the Pharisees. And we read the following. And again, John chapter 12 and verse 43. That verse reads, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And so you see this term again being used in a variety of ways here. But again, think back to the point that, and the point that I wanted to make here is that, think about the choices and the selections that are being made behind this type of love here. The term phileo . This term, on the other hand, is one that refers to a tender affection. And oftentimes we've seen this term and we certainly think a brotherly love, which is something that it has been called, as well as a friendly love. Over in John chapter 5 and verse 20, John chapter 5 and verse 20, we see the term phileo is used to describe God the Father's love for Jesus. Over in John chapter 16 and verse 27, we see that it's also used, and this time it's used to describe God's the Father love for a disciple, for a follower of Christ here. And then lastly, over in John chapter 20 and verse 2, we see this particular verse being used also to describe Jesus' love for a disciple. And again, the point that I wanted to make here is that you see two different types of love here. And again, John uses them based on a variety of scenarios and situations. As you see the various use of this word in John's gospel, the one thing you don't see, especially in regards to phileo, is that this word is not used to describe a person's love to God here. And so, as you think back to John chapter 21 and verses 15 through 17, those verses that we talked about and looked at, this seems to suggest that Jesus is saying, and he's seeking, more than this tender affection from Peter here. You know, this seems to say that he's seeking a stronger love from Peter, a deeper love, one that involves Peter's free choices and these selections that he will make in life, one that will faithfully follow God here. A love that is committed, a love that is willing to sacrifice if need be. Agapao is a love that seeks the best for all people. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and this is a great example of this. When you look at that particular parable, you see an individual, this Samaritan here, who actually provides aid to this man. And he provides to this Jew here who would have been a sworn enemy to him. But none of this concerns him. He not only provides aid to him, but he provides for him, he cares for him, he even sacrifices out of his own resources to ensure that this man is properly cared for. And again, agapao is this unconditional type love. Agapao is perfectly expressed by God when he sent his son to die for the sins of mankind. Let's turn over to our the verse that we read for our scripture reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And those verses read again, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." You know, consider that third question. Back over in John chapter 21, consider the third question that Jesus asked Peter. We see that Jesus appears to switch from using this term agapao to the term phileo here. And I oftentimes wonder, especially when you consider Peter's denial of Christ, I oftentimes wonder if Jesus is actually asking Peter, "Do you really love me even as a brother?" And you know, you begin to see this fact that as Jesus asked Peter these questions here, especially this third time, we see that Peter is deeply grieved. You know, that Jesus will ask him three times, "Do you love me?" here. Jesus knew certainly that Peter loved him. And certainly we know that Jesus knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. On three occasions, Jesus asked Peter to reaffirm that love before restoring him to go back out and to feed and to care for the flock of God here. Jesus does assure Peter that his love would reach the greatest of heights here, this agapao that we've been discussing. If you take a look over in John chapter 21, and let's take a look at verses 18 and 19 again. John chapter 21, verses 18 through 19. And again, consider that Peter truly would display agapao towards Christ. Those verses read, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Certainly that term, "stretch out your hand," is one that signifies crucifixion. And, you know, when you think about secular history does tell us that Peter was crucified, that he was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die as his Lord and Savior had died. And so we do see that Peter will get to this point of sacrificial love, of this agapao here. Consider the fact that Peter will give his life to preach the good news of Christ to those that wanted to hear the gospel. He would preach Christ to those that did not want to hear it. He would preach Christ to those who were indifferent to the gospel of Christ. And he would preach Christ to those who were actually react violently to it. But again, think about the fact that after they saw this resurrected Lord and Savior, after he's restored by Christ here, the fact that Peter will willingly die for the sake of Christ. The gospel itself is the power of God to salvation for those who believe. We see this over in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. A little behind. We do know that the gospel itself, again, is the only route to salvation. Think about the fact that, again, Peter will willingly give his life for Christ here. In John chapter 21 and verse 15, Peter was asked to feed the lambs of God. And if he truly loved Jesus, he would indeed carry out this commission given to him by Christ. And that is, he would, again, minister to the flock of God here. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 here. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In that one verse, we see the elders are given a charge to watch over themselves, as well as the flock of God here. And this is the elders from Ephesus. And I'm going to read that one verse here. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And certainly, if you think about the charge that Peter is given by Christ here, think about the fact that it's one that requires faithfulness. And so Peter himself certainly must remain blemish-free and that he's doing the right thing. But also, he knows he has this responsibility as well to feed and to care for the lambs of God. Even for us, we have a responsibility to be faithful and to spread the good news of Christ to those within this world. We have the opportunity to take a look at two different types of love here. One, again, phileo, which refers to this tender affection that we may have. It is a deep love for those who are near and dear to us. And we also took a look at agapao here. And again, this love is one that actually requires, it involves choices, it involves selections and reasoning on our part. It's one that may embrace the will of God if we choose to obey him. It's one that seeks out the very best for all man, despite the fact that we may find ourselves under persecution. We may find ourselves being insulted. We may even find ourselves being harmed from a physical standpoint, again, for the sake of Christ here. And so what you begin to see, again, is a sacrificial love, one that truly seeks the very best for all men. Consider our love for Christ. Consider, do we have this deep, intimate love for Christ here? Are we willing to sacrifice for him? Are we committed to him to the point that we're willing to stand firm, even in the face of persecution? I want to close by taking a look at a couple of verses here. Over in John chapter 21 here, again, verse 19, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." You know, as disciples of Christ, certainly, again, we all have this responsibility to teach and to preach and spread the gospel of Christ throughout this world to those who are lost. And again, you think about this concept of agapao and the fact that it truly does seek out the very best for all men. And what more love can we show to our fellow mankind than by providing for them all that opportunity for salvation by sharing the good news of Christ with them? You know, let's turn over to 1 John here. I'm going to close with these verses. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 8 reads, 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's go down to verse 16 here. That verse tells us, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17 tells us that love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now consider the life that we live and whether that life actively displays that Christ lives through us. Certainly, thank you for your time here, and certainly continue to think again about the responsibility that we as Christians have regarding our Christ here, and the fact that it is an active responsibility that we have to continue to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Christ throughout this world. If you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel, we certainly stand ready to assist you. If you are a Christian who has fallen away from the faith and you've been unfaithful and you wish to restore yourself, again, we stand ready to assist. Whatever your need may be, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.